Pop Spotting 152.
Tuesday, October 25th, 2011. Welcome to Pop Spotting. I'm Jen.
And I am Ryan.
It's TV Tuesday, and while there's a lot of good shows out there, we wanted to focus on two of our favorites this week.
Right. First, we want to talk about Fringe, which is now halfway through the first half of its fourth season. We'll see how we feel four episodes in, with four more new episodes due before a fall finale on November 18th.
Then we wanted to weigh in on the fourth season of Breaking Bad, which just wrapped up, and it wrapped up with a bang only a couple weeks ago.
Of course, if you're still catching up with either show or aren't a fan of either show, this podcast might not be for you. For you, we will start our show with a few quick hits from elsewhere around the dial. First up, unfortunately, another casualty, another fatality of the fall 2011 season 2 report. Free Agents has been canceled.
I'm not really surprised by that.
Well, Hank Azaria is having a bad year. I mean, there's this, and of course, they're still fighting over the final season of The Simpsons, and Fox wants all of the voice actors to take a pay cut, so I don't know, hang in there, dude.
Yeah, I do want to say Sons of Anarchy is really, this is probably my favorite season so far.
It is a great start to a fourth season, especially after a potentially uneven third season. I think they're doing really, really well, and we are going to commit a significant portion of an upcoming show to lavish more praise on this current season of Sons of Anarchy. Person of interest, still hanging in there, I think getting a little bit better, but now after my remarks about Jim Caviezel last week, now when I watch him, I actually giggle, and that's not a good sign. He's supposed to be really tough, but now I see him, I don't know, trying to talk like Batman or something. It's not a strong performance, and I can really see, I'm already waiting for Terry O'Quinn to be cast.
Well, do you know who's really tough? Maria Bello.
Yeah, exactly.
And I love Prime Suspect. I'm really into this show a lot, and it's the supporting cast I think I like even better than Maria Bello herself. I think the secondary characters are really developing a lot of depth.
Yeah, I would say that. I mean, I think it's still Maria Bello's show, but the guys who were just basically the real jerks, the boys' club that were trying to ice her out, they're developing a relationship with her, slight affection for her. They're getting a good rhythm with each other. So Prime Suspect so far still very high up on our favorites of this season. And I'm going to kind of put you on the spot here as we wrap up these quick hits. I caught you watching another episode of Two Broke Girls.
I know.
You ragged on that show so bad. What is going on? Are you still in with Kat Dennings?
I don't know. I watched that episode and I laughed out loud at least four times. It's getting a little bit edgier and a little bit more clever. And yeah, Kat Dennings is a fox and she's funny. But I think that the whole cast has really good timing. And I think that as the story progresses and they get further into their plan to open this cupcake shop, I think it's going to get even more interesting.
I do like the fact that they've got a longer arc, that they're even kind of updating us on how that's going, and right. That's not bad. I don't know if they have great timing yet. They have loosened up quite a bit. It is not as awkward as it was at the beginning, and they do insist that this show is filmed before a live studio audience, and I'm starting to kind of get into that in the sense that some of the jokes don't land, and they live with the awkwardness of how it didn't work, you know? And I would say the show also had a couple of dirty lines this last episode. Those were the ones that we laughed at the most.
Yeah.
So I think that edginess is helping as well, so maybe not too late for us for Two Broke Girls. Now, a bit of housekeeping. I do want to set folks up for our next TV Tuesday. We do finally want to share our review of American Horror Story. It's the horror series on FX.
From the creators and writers of Glee.
Yes, for better or worse. But it's been on for a while, so we can share our take. And shows that have not been on for a while, we want to talk about, you know, we want to prematurely judge the pilots, the first episodes of the two fantasy shows we were really looking forward to. That's Once Upon a Time, which is from the writers of Lost. It just premiered this past Sunday, the 23rd, on ABC. And this Friday, October 30th, we're going to see Grimm on NBC. So that's coming up on Pop Spotting. But this week, in depth, we wanted to talk about two of our favorite shows, and let's start with Fringe. Right now, it's in its fourth season. There was a rerun this past Friday. We're going to get four more new ones before we have to wait until next year. It's a 22-episode season, so I guess we're about a fifth of the way in. Mm-hmm. This might be the last season of Fringe. How do you think they're doing here in season 4 so far?
I'm blown away. I mean, you really gotta love a show that's brave enough to temporarily write off one of its stars in a very bizarre and strange way, and they can still come back from that. They can still make the story interesting and compelling, and you have kind of forgotten for a little while that Peter wasn't there, because what we're really focusing on now is Dr. Walter Bishop and his descent into madness and his relationships with Olivia and Astrid.
Well, you know, first of all, I can't say that this season has blown me away. I mean, that's really strong language, and I have to save that for Breaking Bad. I think that this is a decent season of Fringe. I do think that they are going out on a limb. They're taking a lot of chances. And yes, you know, at the end of last season, big twist, Peter never existed. And now the question was, where's Peter? We had these visions. We had these hauntings. We had this madness and this focus on these other characters that I've liked quite a bit. And yes, now here we are at the end of episode 4. He's back. Peter is back. And he knows what we know. He's from the reality that we remember, but doesn't remember anybody else. Nobody remembers him. So I think that sets up some really interesting stuff. But I don't think I didn't miss Peter, because they tried very hard to make sure we missed Peter, whether it's, you know, kind of a long sentence about how somebody leaves an indelible presence in your life, or if sometimes you always feel like there's something missing. I mean, that was pretty clear that they were really focusing on that. And I think that 4 episode was just long enough, because I don't think they could have dragged it out much longer asking about Peter without giving us Peter. The question that's in my mind is one that I've seen kind of written up in blogs as well, is that, you know, what are we dealing with here in this 4th season? This is a corrected timeline, I guess. It's the original universe that we know. There is that other universe, but it's a universe that's slightly different, and but without Peter. So what with the reintroduction of Peter, my brain starts to twist, just like we were wondering at the end of season 5 with Jughead and Lost, which is, what can they possibly do here? Are they going to say that the first 3 seasons that we watched are for naught, they don't matter because things are different now? Or if now, you know, paradoxically, we've got the Peter that we know with the timeline in his head that we know, are we going to say that the first 4 episodes that we just saw don't matter and don't exist? I mean, in a way, they've kind of said something here doesn't work. Or is that just beyond the point?
I see what you're saying, because the Lost comparison is very apt. I think that I'm a little bit scared, because we had the same kind of question in our heads towards the end of Lost, and I'm not bashing on the ending of Lost, but it really copped out of that question in a way, and I really hope that at the end of Fringe we don't get that. I think we really need a more concrete answer to that question.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't put it past them to lead us there. I mean, you had the end of Battlestar Galactica with the big grand ending. You had the big church ending, the spiritual ending for Lost. Maybe Fringe might go there, but I don't think that they could earn it, at least not with where they are now. And if this is the last season, that's a lot of ground for them to cover. So I think it's not out of bounds to be worried, but still, I will say that this new corrected timeline has been a lot of fun, at least for a long-time viewer, to catch all of the differences. And one of the main differences is there's a new agent involved here.
Lincoln Lee, played by Seth Gable, and there's so many ramifications to Peter's reappearance, and Lincoln Lee is from the other side, and I wonder what this all means, that these two characters appear in places that they're not really supposed to be.
Well, you know, when we were first watching this season and they introduced these slight differences in this world and they were fun to catch, and Lincoln Lee turns up, I thought that it was just them being cutesy or clever. And when he was asking all these questions, I'm like, oh no, he's going to be a Greek chorus character who's just going to ask all the obvious questions that somebody who doesn't watch the show would ask, you know, the 101 level questions. Uh-huh. So I was worried about that. But as we've watched this season unfold and saw the different sides of these characters that we know and love, not just the alternate ones, but now this corrected timeline version of them, I'm wondering if the end game for our Lincoln Lee in this world, even though he had this very reasonable backstory, is that he might turn dark, and that maybe the difference on the alternate side is that Lincoln Lee is a little less dark. So I'm curious about him. I'm going to give him more time. I think that there's some potential there. I will say that this season is more character than sci-fi. I think the sci-fi has been not underwhelming, but not, you know, groundbreaking. And I'm not saying, like with The Lost, we always get into the mythology versus character debate. I'm not saying that's necessarily happening here, but definitely if you like the characters, this is the season for you. And forget this new agent. It's about the people we know, and it's John Noble who's just totally knocking it out of the park this year.
He is. He's even more insane in this reality than he was previously. And there are so many layers to him. And he doesn't even, I don't think he even really understands what's going on with himself. And the relationship between he and Astrid is completely different.
Yeah, I think there's more hostility there. I don't think it's quite as affectionate or maternal as it was. I don't think his relationship with Olivia is the same. I think he and Olivia are much closer in this universe. But it is to John Noble's credit, because, you know, playing crazy can be easy. Playing crazy, you can be lazy. It's like playing drunk. And I think that that's why John Noble is so awesome, is that you just still completely identify and empathize with him. Even when he throws that tantrum in the hotel room, he goes completely crazy because, of course, he's a germaphobe. He doesn't overplay it. He doesn't underplay it. It's just perfect. I think it's a note perfect and a fantastic opportunity for John Noble. What about Anna Torv? What about Olivia? I mean, this Olivia, this corrected timeline Olivia, is back to, I think, season one Olivia, cold and reserved and distant, although she has a much darker story. I mean, instead of the mystery of her dad, she killed her dad. I mean, I'm kind of sad that she reverted, even though she didn't really in the storyline. What do you think?
I got to give Anna Torv a lot of credit, because she's been a lot of different characters at different times. And I know we're not really supposed to like Bolivia, but I do. I think Bolivia is a really cool chick. And I have to really give Anna Torv credit for being Bolivia, and for being Olivia, and for being the other Olivia, and for being William Bell. And I don't think this Olivia is anybody I'd necessarily hang out with, but I am enjoying watching Anna Torv kind of inhabit all of these different people.
Well, and you know, I have to say, to the show's credit, that they didn't go overboard with the split screen acting with yourself, talking to yourself sort of thing. I was sure they were going to go there, and they didn't. But the thing that I think is lacking this season is that other universe and that mounting tension that they talk about but don't really show. Yes, you have the Monsters of the Week. I think they've been okay, predictable, but with enough twists that you're kind of interested in them. Why are these shapeshifters a little different? These biomechanical hybrids they're talking about. I actually like that second episode where they got a completely innocent guy to go over to the other side to try and profile what he would do in that world. I thought that was kind of a neat twist. And now, most recently, we've got Nina Sharp back and Massive Dynamic and the kind of slightly different storyline with the Cortexafan trial. So the cases of the week have been okay, but that major conflict, or the solution, or the plan, the thing they're trying to fix by collaborating with the other side and Walternet, I mean, I don't even know where Walternet is. We haven't even seen Walternet, but that big picture, I mean, that shared enemy or that shared danger that they're trying to solve and work together on, I don't feel that. I don't even really remember what the big issue is. Are these worlds colliding? Is the universe going to end? I mean, that I think they need to really get back on to, because I'm not sensing that larger danger.
And what about the observers? They play a really key role. They're driving the entire plot. So I'm wondering, are there going to be more of them? How are we going to illustrate that these observers are so important?
Yeah, I think that they are key. I mean, we saw originally they played a role in saving this Peter and why he shouldn't even be in this world, and that's what led us to the end of season three. Here we see that they're still trying to fix things. They were supposed to erase Peter, but they didn't. Obviously, these observers are taking direct action. They're playing a role. I think that they're going to be key, especially if this is the last season of Fringe. We may see a lot more of them doing a lot more things, and I think that could be a good thing or a bad thing, because these observers are just a degree away from Deus Ex Machina, that, you know, just arbitrary decisions and actions are taken in service of something else to get the action going. It could be dangerous in terms of storytelling, but I have faith. It's been a really solid show. I think this is still a solid season, and it is good to have Peter back.
Yes.
I mean, here a character who knows at least the world we do, and that's where I think it can get interesting. If you are watching Fringe, we'd like to hear your thoughts. Is it blowing you away or not? Are you with Jen or maybe with me? With that out of the way, let's spend the rest of the time we have talking about the end of the fourth season of Breaking Bad. Hands down, I think, our favorite show on television right now.
Yeah, it is.
So before we get to the particulars of that mind-blowing season finale, what's your judgment on this fourth season overall of Breaking Bad?
It started off so slowly, a lot of people talking and a lot of really pensive shots of people sitting around and thinking, and I really wondered where it was all going to go. And then in the last four episodes of the season, they packed everything in, and it was such a crazy ride.
Yeah, you know, I would agree. Season 4 was mostly a slow burn. I mean, yes, there were some really unforgettable moments. That premiere episode with the box cutter and Gus completely silent all the way through. Or the episode where we got Gus's flashback, where we saw what happened with his brother, how this war with the cartel started. And I think most importantly, we finally understood how in the previous several episodes, he still allowed Jesse to live, even though he wasn't the genius, even though he wasn't Walt the cook. I thought that was fantastic.
Or the scene of the ambush on the cartel, especially the scene where Gus goes into the bathroom and he folds the towel, and we know instantly what he's done. Yeah, and that was so powerful.
That was a really good reveal. And then, of course, yes, you had the season finale, but I would agree they really backloaded all of the action. It escalated at an almost incredible exponential pace at the very end of the season. I think that's why I like Breaking Bad, and that's what they've done every season, where they paint themselves into a corner. They get to a point where you say, how can they possibly get out of the situation? And that's what they did deliver toward the end. But it was certainly a more deliberately paced season compared to the others.
I think this is a season where we finally saw Walt turn from Anakin to Darth Vader. Mm. And, you know, in the very beginning when we started watching this show, he's a very mild-mannered person who has a bit of a temper. But overall, he's really been given a raw deal in life. And he's not a very happy person. And he's really turned into somebody completely different. He's taken the bitterness and the anxiety he had, and he's turned it into something that he can use against people. And I'm wondering, where do you think that turn was? What was the moment where you knew for sure that he was not a good person, or he was innately evil?
Well, you know, it's been a natural progression. It's been the expected, I think, arc for Walter White. It is unfortunate, but it is why the story is so compelling. He can't stay above it all. He will become part of the evil that he's trying to fight in this world. And where did that moment come? I think that I like that they've been building to it. Maybe the scene where he was with Jane in her last moments of life. Maybe it's the scene where he does in fact get Jesse to take action against Gale. Maybe it was even earlier on when he beats up those teenagers just for laughing at his son. I mean, he takes it a step too far. I mean, that's something that I think we're seeing more and more. For me, the moment where I slapped my head was in the season finale of this season, where he's using Jesse. Sure, he's manipulating people, but when he picks up that phone and he calls his neighbor and asks his neighbor to check if the stove is on, that was it. I was like, okay, when you bring a complete innocent into this world, when you put them at grave danger, that's something that the original Walter White, the Walter White we first met, would never do.
I don't think so. I think it's always been there. Like, he set fire to that guy's car in the gas station. I mean,
that's true.
That guy was horrible and he deserved it. But on the other hand, that was a really strange turn for his character, considering what we had seen up to that point.
Well, I think, though, however we got here, it is setting us up. I think the last arc, the last few stories for Breaking Bad, for Walter White, is for him to be the bad guy. I mean, we loved Gus. We gushed about Gus, but he was almost untoppable as a bad guy. He was so intense. He was the Michael Emerson / Ben of this universe. I think he went as far as he could possibly go as a bad guy without winning. And now it's going to be down to Walt and maybe Jesse, or maybe Jesse and Mike against him. But let's talk about Gus. Let's talk about where his character finally ended up in that season finale, the moment that everybody was talking about. How did you see that coming? How did you like that resolution?
I didn't see it coming at all. I couldn't add up what Tio and the nursing home and Walt's previous decision to try to blow up Gus's car. I didn't know how that would all fit together until it happened. And to see Gus walk out of that room, I literally screamed. I could not believe that this was happening.
Well, I'll say that I did see it coming as soon as Walter asked Tio, are you sure? Are you having second thoughts? And let's go ahead with it. I think I figured it out at that point. But the way they did it is exactly why I love the show, because it did go too far. It did get almost ridiculous, where he steps out of that hospital room and you're saying, no way. And then the camera pans and you're like, no way! I mean, it's that extra step. It's that extra level. That's why I love it. And, you know, the Tio and the whole thing with the bell and the messages, they literally go, they take the time for him to bing out that message to Hank.
Oh,
and
God, that was hilarious. Going through that,
I mean, it is that execution, it is that level of patience and commitment to a concept that I love about Breaking Bad. But there is also a final reveal. There is the plant in the backyard. It tells us something about Walt that I think we just discussed, but it also, I think, reveals what some people are complaining about that I feel as well, which is in this last half of this fourth season, they did something that, to my recollection, I don't remember them doing before, which is they apparently allowed Walt's character to get up to something pivotal and important in the story that we did not see. Mm-hmm. Something happened off screen that is later essentially implied, but we did not see it. And I don't know, I won't go as far as to call it a cheat, but I'm not sure if I'm fully satisfied with it.
Well, it only dissatisfies me in the sheer number of questions that it raises. What happened to the ricin? Where did the poison in the drinks come from? I'm having trouble keeping track of all of these different threads, and I'm hoping that season 5 sheds at least a little light on one of these questions.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully it's not going to be a flashback where they show everything and everything executed. At some point, you have to trust the writers and say, okay, you went there, I'm with you. I just hope they don't do it more often, because I can see the questions. And I tell you what, I was reading some blogs and I was getting flashbacks to Lost because people were doing screen caps of the scene where Huel frisks Jesse, and was there any possible way he could have grabbed those cigarettes and stuff like that. And so I just don't think they can go there that often. I hope they don't make us focus more on those questions, because it distracts us from the story. And the story is why we love the show. Well, we are out of time, but I still have to ask you, what do you want to see? This show pulled a Loss. They got an end date. They got 16 more episodes, which I guess are going to be broken up into two short little seasons. What do you want to see coming up on Breaking Bad?
I want to see a final showdown between Hank and Walt, because this is something that's been brewing for a little while. Mm. They've had disagreements before, and they've even had fights before. And as we know, Hank is in law enforcement, and you can't keep a secret like Walt's from law enforcement for very long. And the way I see it, this story can only end one of two ways. And if it has to be law enforcement that takes it down, I think Hank deserves it.
Yeah, Hank deserves it. I think that we see, I think he's got suspicions. I think we're going to see very early on in the next season that he's already on to him. I think that that's inevitable. I want to see Skyler redeemed. I want her to not just be dealing with Ted and messing around with car washes. And I want to see Walt Jr. in as well. I mean, the whole show, the whole concept was Walt's commitment to his family and saving his family. He might turn on them, he might become a threat to them, but they need to rise up once more, I think, in importance. And I do agree that if they're going to build up to a final showdown between Walt as the baddie and Jesse as the hero, that's where Mike is going to come in, and where some any level of loyalty or friendship there is going to manifest.
Yeah, I believe so.
So it's going to be a long wait for the next season of Breaking Bad. If you're not watching the show, you probably didn't listen to this, but if you did, you gotta catch the show. All of the first three seasons are on Netflix, and of course you can buy season 4 on iTunes. Breaking Bad is fracking brilliant.
It is.
So that's TV Tuesday for this week. If you enjoy our podcast, and we hope you do, we'd love it if you'd introduce your friends to Pop Spotting and help grow our podcast family. We've made many, many great friends over the years, but you know, the more the merrier.
So maybe consider sharing a link to Pop Spotting on Facebook, or tweeting a shout out to us on Twitter, or if you're really feeling generous, you can rate our show and post a short review in the iTunes podcast directory.
That's right. That's one of the best ways to bring new listeners into the fold. More listeners means more creative ideas and fun feedback, and every little like and tweet and share helps.
Tomorrow is Wildcard Wednesday, and we'll hope you'll join us as we make good on our promise to take you on a tour through Hilo on the Big Island.
Our theme song was created by Dan Pashman of the Sporkful Podcast, and our show is powered by the best, brightest, coolest fuel on earth, you. Thank you for listening.
For Pop Spotting, I'm Jen.
And I'm Ryan.
Aloha. Aloha.